This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Studios in Houston, Texas. Quicken Loans. Take advantage of historic low rates. Go to Rocket Mortgage today. Here's your host, 6'1" former Oklahoma Sooner basketball player, Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Hey, happy holidays and welcome inside the Quicken Loans studios at SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show. As promised, it is time for some NBA news and notes, and right now we're going to zero in on the Dallas Mavericks. It's been a disappointing season as the Mavericks, they've battled injuries, they've battled age, and they have regressed. They've only got 4 wins so far this season. So what can Maverick fans expect moving forward? Here with some Christmas cheer is the Dallas Mavericks play-by-play voice. That is the great Mark Followell. We are always ready for a good-spirited discussion. Good evening, Mark.
Hi, Alyssa. How are things?
It's very good. It's nice to catch up with you, and let's talk about your Dallas Mavericks because they host the Pacers tonight at the AAC, and Dallas with only 4 wins on the season. You guys have been sabotaged, it seems like, by injuries, and you're really searching for positives right now. And I know the Mavs are a proud franchise. Who or what is giving the Mavericks a sense of hope and that perhaps they can start heading into the right direction?
Well, I think more than anything, I mean, I think kind of what you take out of the first quarter of the season for Dallas is that they think that they've found something pretty special going forward in Harrison Barnes. Barnes is off to a really good start. I mean, he didn't have a very good game against Sacramento, but nor did anyone else. But if you looked at the full body of work for Barnes this year, averaging between 20 and 21 points a game and shooting between 45 and 46% from the floor, being a player who's had a bigger points per game increase and bigger shot attempt increase than anybody in the league, I think a lot of people thought, well, how can this guy step into this bigger role that the Mavs have planned for them? And we've seen that he has been able to step into the bigger role. Now, it hasn't necessarily translated into wins for a lot of other things. But I think for the Mavs right now, you know, it's a time of transition for the franchise. They've gotten younger. Things are moving in a different direction in terms of, you know, what they've got to look at for the future. I think Barnes has established himself clearly as a pretty important component of what this team could put together going down the road in seasons ahead. So that, to me, would be the biggest thing that I think that you would take looking at, you know, what is going to help this thing get better in the long run.
Has Harrison exceeded your expectations? Because when we step back and look at his 4 seasons at Golden State, he never averaged more than 11 points per game, and he really played what a complimentary role to the Splash Brothers.
He has exceeded my expectations, and that probably is a good lesson to always remember, that sometimes when someone's a fourth option on a team, it's not necessarily indicative of their inability to be able to be a bigger option somewhere else. I mean, the bottom line about Barnes is this, is yes, he was the fourth option with Golden State, but we forget when he came out of high school in Ames, Iowa, he was by most recruiting services ranked 1 or 2 in the country in that particular year's high school class, and went to North Carolina and played 2 years there and averaged 16 points per game in his 2 seasons and was selected fairly high in the lottery by Golden State. He was the 7th overall pick by 2012. But then he gets there and you don't get a chance to see a lot of his game, and you just sort of assume it's like, okay, well, he's been a complimentary player on a great team, and that's all he's capable of doing. So, yes, he exceeded my expectations. I would say that, again, though, that probably says a lot more about how we all evaluate players than it does about him in particular, because clearly if you go back in his basketball evolution, there was a time when he was thought of as a very, very highly rated player who is capable of being the kind of guy who is a number one option on the team. He just sort of fell into a place where that wasn't needed out of him early in his career. And now he's come here to Dallas. And, individually, he's succeeding a lot more than not in that particular role.
Of course, we're talking right now about Harrison Barnes. He has had 3 games with 30 points. And as you mentioned, Mark, he's averaging a career high, and it is a team high, 21 points per game. I know it's, you know, perhaps a bit early, but is he the most improved player in the league so far?
Great question. I would have to look at probably some other numbers of some other players around the league. You know, the one thing that happens a lot of times in these postseason awards is that they're typically more geared to players who are on better teams. So team success or lack thereof can influence how voters, I vote on these things. So, I would be, somebody who does get influenced somewhat by team success.
Right.
So, statistically, obviously he's the most improved player in the league. But the fact that the Mavs haven't had a lot of success individually probably will take away some of the impact of that improvement in numbers when some people vote on it. So, it's early to say at this point, and obviously there's a compelling argument to make statistically, But I would have to think that at least to some degree he'll be held back from winning that award a little bit by some voters saying, well, he improved, but the team didn't win a lot of games. So I think the Mavs are going to have to get better for him to have, you know, a real strong push for that award from all corners of the NBA.
Mark, you have covered the Dallas Mavericks for many, many years. I have to ask you, I mean, what is it about guys that have played for the North Carolina, the Tar Heels? I mean, you think of Vince Carter, Brandon Wright, Brendan Haywood, and now Harrison Barnes. I mean, there's like a train going into Dallas, right?
Well, you know, it's a good thing, and I think it's probably, sure, as much as anything, it's a testament to Carolina. I mean, this is a program that always gets some of the most highly recruited players in the country. And they were well coached by the likes of Dean Smith for a long period of time, and now well coached by guys like Roy Williams. And so that sort of thing certainly matters. And the Mavs have been fortunate in that. And Jerry Stackhouse, by the way, is another one. If you want to go back a little bit farther, mm-hmm. The Mavs have been fortunate that they've had good players from North Carolina come through here. And the thing that, you know, you understand is that that's a quality program that always has good players. And that's why the guys that go on to represent the Tar Heels in the NBA are usually ones who are very successful and stand out because of what kind of players they are.
Okay, so we highlight Harrison Barnes. Let's shine a spotlight on Dirk. Let's get an update on him. You know, it's one thing, and the Mavericks have had to deal with it this season, to lose players to injury, but it's quite another when you lose your superstar to injury. And here Dirk is, he's 38 years of age, has had some lingering issues. How has his absence, how has it affected the Mavericks?
Well, when you have great players on the floor, I mean, a number of things happen. Besides the attention that defenses draw, and to quote Rick Carlisle, they change the geometry of the floor. I mean, I just think that there's a real settling, calming presence. I mean, I look at Cleveland 2 years ago when they were tremendously banged up, and they still gave Golden State a really good battle in the finals. And one of the things that I look back at that from is that even though they were having to roll Dellavedova and players like that out there on the floor with LeBron James, they still had success because great players, I think, have a calming influence on everyone else on the floor and just manage to help everybody elevate their game and give other players a sense of belief. So not having Dirk there not only costs them the attention that Dirk draws from defenses and the geometry aspect of things, I just think a player like that gives other players on the floor some belief in the potential for the team to be successful. So that, to me, is among the things that they miss with Dirk not being there. And it's a veteran presence. It's somebody who doesn't panic. It's someone who understands the game, who reads the game well, and just on down the list. You're just missing so much corporate knowledge, to use a workplace buzzword. Mm-hmm. You're missing so much calmness under pressure. Yeah. You're missing someone who's played over 1,300 games, who's seen all that there is to see in the league. And, you know, you have so many games that are close games in this league. And for a lot of years, I mean, I think we've kind of taken for granted that the Mavs have been better than not when it comes to closing out these games. By no means were they perfect, but they usually had a good one-loss record in close games. And when he's not out there and not, you know, a guy who is able to rise above the pressure and able to execute in those situations, you miss that kind of player who understands what it takes to win in the last 5 minutes of a game. And that is among the reasons why when it comes to clutch games this year, the Mavs record is 3 wins and 9 losses, just not having him out there being the presence that he normally is at the end of a close game.
Mark, can you give us any update in terms of how much longer that he's going to be out?
I wish I could. At this stage, the idea, though, is that he's out indefinitely. And the reason I would feel like there probably isn't an imminent return is because here in the not-too-distant future, besides the back-to-back this weekend against the Pacers and the Rockets, the Mavs are about to get back into a really difficult stretch of schedule in terms of back-to-backs. They're going to have one on the 18th and 19th of December. And then their only 4-game and 5-night stretch is immediately after Christmas Day, the 26th, 27th, 29th, and 30th of December. And we know, at least initially, that Dirk isn't going to play back-to-backs when he's coming off this injury. And honestly, I would wonder if he's going to play both nights of a back-to-back at all this year, even if he does get healthy because of his age and just trying to, you know, manage him and put him in a position for him to play as well as he possibly can for the remainder of this year. And presumably, if next year is on the table for him, which I think everybody feels like at this stage, it still is. So I don't have a real day in mind or a time frame in mind, but I don't think that we're looking at any sort of imminent return to the floor. And by imminent, I mean in the next handful of games. I mean, I would think that at this stage, you know, 2016, playing sometime in the year 2016 seems like that's, you know, I wouldn't call it a long shot, but I certainly wouldn't say that that is the highest odds outcome. I'll put it that way, that it probably might be another 2 or 3 weeks and potentially maybe into 2017 before we see him get back on the floor.
The Dallas Mavericks host the Indiana Pacers tonight at the AAC in Dallas, and we are going one-on-one with Mark Folwell, the Dallas Mavericks television play-by-play voice. We're going to step aside for a quick commercial break. We will be right back at SB Nation Radio.